Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us, and I hope you'll join in the conversation as well tonight. But I want to let you know in advance that we're going to be holding our phone calls during the first half of the program. And if you want to call in and get on the line, that's fine. But and the toll-free number is 888-677-9673. But we have a special guest that didn't really plan on this until just earlier this evening. And we had a contact and of course, familiar to our listeners, Dr. Beverly Goldstein. She contacted us. Actually, I think your husband, Michael, contacted us and wanted to know about the possibility of making one last appearance on the program here before the election on Tuesday. And I didn't have anybody scheduled to be here. I said, sure. One of the advantages of running the program is I can be flexible like that. So we're glad to have you in the studio tonight, Dr. Beverly Goldstein, candidate for the United States House of Representatives here for the Ohio District 11. And Dr. Goldstein, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, thanks, Pastor Al. See, we had an idea that you might be able to fit us in, so we bugged you.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know, I said to some people at church, I said, you know, if your opponent had called, she could be on the program too, but she never calls me. So, but you do. So yeah, that's how you got on. That's the secret.
I don't think my opponent calls anyone.
Well, I don't think she knows me or much less listens to the program, but we're glad to have you tonight. You even got the official Beverly badge on tonight. So, but I appreciate having the opportunity. And I know there's a lot of people listening who aren't in your district, but there's a lot of people who are in your district listening tonight. And we just want to get your name out there because I do think that it is an important issue. Let me get some things out of the way first, some bookkeeping sort of stuff out of the way. Just a reminder, the program is brought to you tonight by my home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and also by East Coast Pizza out in Garfield Heights. And just to let you know, you can find us online at that's a wrong radio program. It's late at night. I flashed back to another radio program that I help with during the week. LiveWithPastorAl.com. That's LiveWithPastorAl.com. And you can find us there. And you can also go to our Facebook page at Facebook.com/LiveWithPastorAl. That's Facebook.com/LiveWithPastorAl. We're on live on Facebook Live right now as well. And you can watch on there. And we've got some other materials linked in on both of those sites, Facebook and our regular website. So we're glad to have you with us, Dr. Goldstein, Beverly Goldstein, running for Congress. And how are you holding up?
1 second.
Her husband.
I just want to
Michael
say that East
Goldstein.
Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is in her district.
That's true.
Everybody should know that, especially your sponsor.
Yeah, and and he knows that too. In fact, taking advantage of that, let me remind you, check them out. They're right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road, and you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. Excellent pizza, and let me encourage you to stop by there. All right, well, Dr. Goldstein, it's coming down to the last few days, and it's kind of interesting. I'm a political junkie myself. I like news and politics. To me, the elections like this, it's kind of like, you know, the World Series or the Super Bowl or something. Presidential elections, like all of them wrapped into one. But you've been busy. How are you holding up?
Oh, I think we're holding up really well. There's a big push on lawn signs now. We got to get lawn signs to polling places. If you have a Beverly for Congress lawn sign and you haven't put it out on your lawn yet for one reason or another, we just need it on there till Tuesday night at 7:30. Pastor Al, did you know that President Trump is coming to the IX Center tomorrow?
Yes, I've heard that. In fact, I had a ticket to go there, and then I had to realize I can't make it because the election coming up on Tuesday, and I'm working at our polling station in Richfield Village, I have to be to the pre-election night meeting at 6:30, so I can't make it from the IX Center down to Richfield if I go up there. So I've got to be getting ready for the election on Tuesday, but I hear you're going to be there.
Yeah, I thought since I was running for Congress and the president is coming to Cleveland at 3 o'clock, I thought I'd get a VIP ticket and show up, and that kind of worked out. And I'm taking this guy next to me, Michael, my hubby. Mm-hmm. He's going with me, too. You know, 2 years ago, I was very honored to open up two rallies for candidate Trump, one in Akron at the arena and then the big one at the IX Center. And the president-to-be, I think, touched a lot of people at his rallies.
Right.
You know, he comes out there and he really pretty much makes promises and talks about things that are important to America and to him as the president. And I think that's what we'll expect tomorrow.
I heard somebody on the radio earlier this evening, and he's out of Cincinnati, and he was talking about the energy level of these Trump rallies, and he was talking about it compared to 2 years ago during the presidential campaign, and he said the energy is up there. He was actually predicting that the Cleveland rally tomorrow night may see as many as 50,000 people. That's just unimaginable because, you know, the people inside the IX Center, plus they've been having these crowds outside because they can't get everybody in. I don't know how many people you can get in the IX Center. You can get a lot in there. But and he's been around a while, if you're familiar with Bill Cunningham out of Cincinnati. But he's actually done openings for political presidential campaigns in things gone by. So he took over, actually, a national program that was started by Matt Drudge. And he runs it every Sunday night from 10 o'clock until 11. Or actually, I think he's going on longer than that till about midnight or so. But I was listening to him on the car radio, and he is saying the energy level is up. He's comparing it to, like I said, to 2 years ago. And he's saying that President Trump is getting more and more excited, predicting that the Republicans are going to do better than what people expect. And we're certainly praying for your campaign. You're kind of like a David and Goliath sort of campaign here, aren't you?
Yep. Running in District 11, my seat that I'm seeking has not been occupied by a Republican for 35 years. That means somebody got born, went all the way through grade school, high school, finished 4 years of college, might have gotten a graduate degree, got married, had a few children, and has already been promoted a couple times in a job. It's that long ago that we ever had a Republican sitting in that seat. Mm-hmm. And so let me tell you what, you know, not in the area you live in, but
yeah,
you
our
know
area was added in a few years ago.
Yes, our district in the inner city areas is very poor, and the first ring suburbs are above poverty line, but not much. And we have 8 very wealthy municipalities out of the 32. So when you merge it all together, you take 32 cities, townships, and villages, and 8 of them are extremely wealthy. And we're still the 15th poorest district out of 435 districts in the country. If you took those 8 wealthy communities out of there, I don't know, we could be the poorest or the second poorest.
Oh, yeah.
It is very significant. And Michael and I, after trouncing around for 3 years, actually got to the root of the poverty. And it's very high adult illiteracy. The studies from Case Western Reserve University have shown that 66% of people 16 years or older living in Cleveland are illiterate, and 83% in East Cleveland are illiterate. There's some studies out of Project Learn in Akron that shows a illiteracy rate in Akron of 24%, but they're using a lower standard of defining illiteracy. So if they applied the exact standard in their research to what was applied in Cuyahoga County, we could have very similar numbers. We don't know. One of the things I will do as a new congresswoman is really contact universities, both Akron U and our universities up in the Cuyahoga County area. We need current data on illiteracy, because my key position is to create reading and literacy clinics in the neighborhoods so that people will get on the ladder of stop living on our checks, our paychecks, and begin a journey on beginning to live on their own paychecks. So we want literacy clinics. We want to tie those literacy clinics directly to job training and jobs and promotions. That's what we all do in life. We learn to read, we learn to write, we learn math, we learn science, we learn computers, we graduate from school, we get jobs, or we go to universities and get trained for professional positions, and then we go from those into jobs, and the next level up are promotions. So we're not living in that, I don't know how to read, I don't know what to do with my life, and we don't realize just how many people living in our community, and you and I share this district. Mm-hmm. That's why I love so much being on your program, because when I talk to you, I'm talking to you about your congressional district.
Where I live. Right. Well, I mean, I'm in Richfield, which is one of the wealthier areas of the district, and higher literacy rate. The Revere School System is a fairly high-rated school system, but that when you think about that and how these inner city schools, East Cleveland and Cleveland and Euclid, South Euclid, all are dragging down the statistics that over, you know, when you have these nicer places. But I was going to mention something. Your opponent's talking lately about job training as the key, but you made a point that I want to emphasize the fact these people aren't even on the ladder. To get on the ladder of job training, and we're living in a time with just incredible economic growth, and the unemployment rate has just reached historic low levels amongst the blacks, the Hispanics, among women, and in some cases lowest since they've recorded unemployment. And this is just in the last year and a half with President Trump's policies, you know, his magic wand that he's been waving, I guess. And yet your opponent is saying, oh, job training. You got all these jobs that are open, more jobs than people, yet the people in East Cleveland cannot get a job because they can't even get on that bottom rung to qualify for job training because they can't read the materials.
One of the situations that occurred 2 years ago when I was a candidate is that they created a project to improve transportation off of the freeway to get to Case Western Reserve University and the Cleveland Clinic. It's very awkward if you're coming from other areas to try to get there. And it was called the Opportunity Corridor. And the goal of that project was to try to hire a very large percentage of workers from the affected neighborhoods. And it turned out they could not hire those people. You have to be, there are no sweep-up jobs, Pastor mm-hmm. Al, anymore.
No, people pushing a broom down the street's not
okay,
here.
Or in a factory or whatever. Everything, and if we think it's hard now, the innovations and the rapid growth is so startling. I mean, I feel like at my age, I'm pretty literate with computers and with my phone and whatever. But as soon as something goes wrong, I have to ask my grandson to figure out how to fix it.
Yes.
Or my son, anyway. It's very, very difficult if you aren't, like, brain connected into that mm-hmm. stuff. I'm not brain connected into that stuff. You teach me one thing. You teach me how it relates to another thing. I've watched you with your social media skills and what you do. You are way ahead of what anything I could do. Thank God I had wonderful women helping me with my campaign because they were able to bring their talents of social media to the campaign, skills that I did not have yeah. 2 years ago. But taking this back to what we're talking about, it's time. We're going to find these people who really want to get ahead. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be everybody? And is it going to be right away? And a pastor this morning, we've been going to many churches trying to meet people in a district. Pastor said to me this morning, oh, well, we're going to have to start really slow with this. And of course, you don't want to challenge a pastor. And I'm thinking, we don't want to start really slow with this. Seeds of Literacy has given us mm-hmm. a profile of right, how you go right. forward and put something like this together. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. Right. We need to get the wheel moving.
Get it rolling, yeah.
Okay, we need to bring federal money from HUD and any other agency that it's appropriate to address mm-hmm. this issue. And I will look under every stone that I can look under to find it, to bring a process here where we get going, because every day that's lost is a day you can't get back.
Right. You know, and I hate to sound like a cynic with this, but, you know, in the past, in our history and around the world and other countries, the idea of keeping people from knowing things, the idea of keeping people illiterate, the idea of keeping people from reading and writing. And I say that because there's been cases where people didn't know what the word illiterate meant. Yeah, I mean, we might kind of chuckle at that, but there have been legitimate cases. People didn't understand what the word illiterate meant. We're talking about people not being able to read and write enough to fill out a job application, to read the instructions that they might have for a job training program. And by keeping people ignorant, you know, the Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, people have wanted to oppress people and repress people by keeping them ignorant in the past. And call me a cynic, but your opponent isn't talking about illiteracy. In fact, she says you're making this up.
Well, I've had a few very negative conversations with some Black leaders in the community who've called me on the phone and screaming at me, stop calling Black people illiterate. Well, I never called Black people illiterate. I said mm-hmm. the statistics show that 66% of people in Cleveland and 83% of people in East Cleveland are labeled illiterate based on this research. Okay. This summer, we attended some events in East Cleveland that were put on by a friend. And a gentleman got up and talked about the pride in East Cleveland. And one of the things he pointed out was that 97% of people who live in East Cleveland are Black, and they're very proud that they have a Black community. Okay, so if 97% of people in East Cleveland are Black, this is this gentleman's statistic, not Beverly's, and 83% of the people in East Cleveland aren't literate, most of those people are probably Black. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's how those numbers figure out. So it's like, you're white. Why are you coming in here calling people who are Black illiterate? And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you're not up for solutions, are you? As a healthcare provider, and mm-hmm. you live with a healthcare
yes.
provider, okay, you know how we get people better? We diagnose the mm-hmm. problem.
Right.
If we diagnose it wrong and we treat the wrong thing or we provide the wrong treatment, we aren't going to improve the circumstance.
Right.
So the best future is look at reality, call it what it is, and come up with what's the best way to improve the circumstance. I'm not a young person. I'm not running for Congress for a 40-year career. I really believe that I have ideas and I have plans that can bring an incredible new vision and a new improvement, economic and social. I realized in church this morning the coolest thing. You know, I never go to church. I go to synagogue.
Right.
But as a candidate, a very good way to meet people on a warm basis and explain yourself is to go to church. This morning, sitting in a church on Eddy Road in East Cleveland, it occurred to me that all these ideas I have, one of the best ways I'm going to be able to get volunteers and implement some of these solutions or these new projects is to get synagogues and churches to partner with the congressional office to make people available, to have little ministries. One of the churches we visited, they're very focused on literacy. They spend a lot of time, kids and books. And another one we were at today, they were very interested in infant deaths, in babies, pregnant mothers, a completely different focus in that church. And I realized I'm coming to these places where all these partners are right there and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe if you could put a congressional vision and a big bully pulpit to that, how many great things we could do in District 11? I don't know. I'm kind of pumped.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Beverly Goldstein, we're coming up here to the end of this half hour shortly. We got a few minutes to go. And I just wanted to mention a couple things and give you an opportunity to mention your website here before we run out of time as well. But in fact, go ahead and mention your website right now. We got about 5 minutes here yet.
All right, I'll give you a little bit of information on contacting us. Mm-hmm. Okay, the website is www.beverly4congress.com. At Twitter, which is where we really express our interest on issues that are serious and fund different people and things we do in the district, it's at Bev Goldstein. We just produced a very last-minute commercial, which is on our Twitter, Instagram, and on our Facebook page.
It's on mine, too.
Yes, you... Such a good guy, Pastor Al.
We had over 6,000 views on it.
I know. It's awesome. But guess what we found out tonight?
Hmm.
The young man who made my commercial was a student of your engineer tonight.
Gary in the back.
Is that not cool? Is there not a synergy to all of this?
See, it's all brought together right here in the confines of the WHKW studios.
Well, Gary said that one of the things they're going to do with the students is really take a look at the election situation. And I said, and here you have one of your graduates who participated directly in a really important office.
There you go.
So everybody go on Twitter, Facebook, take a look at DJ's commercial. I don't know how many he's made, but this one could make him famous, right?
Well, and that's true. And again, I want to remind people, you know, it's our duty as citizens of the United States of America. We have the freedom, but it's also, I believe it's our duty to be informed and to get out and vote on Tuesday. If you haven't voted absentee, if you haven't voted in the early balloting, get out on Tuesday. It's not hard. And as a poll worker, let me encourage you, bring your driver's license and give it to them before they ask. It'll make it a lot quicker, smoother, and easier on everybody. But get out and vote and get informed. Visit, what's your website again?
The website is www.beverly4congress.com. I have two closing statements.
Yes.
If you live in District 11, please find someone who has not voted and take them to the polls for you. I mean, with you, for me, and have them vote for Beverly Goldstein. We're going to bring such a new economic energy here and such a new community energy. And you know what? You said my opponent is talking about job training. 2 years ago, there were over 435 job training opportunities in District 11. She wasn't talking about them then. Somebody must have turned a light bulb on in her head, but she still is not at the root of the problem. And
right.
that is, we got to get our adults functional in reading and making them feel comfortable in the process and letting them know there's a big opportunity for them ahead if they take on this effort.
Well, like I said, the cynic in me wants to say somebody doesn't want them getting on the ladder. Somebody wants to keep them dependent on the government. And we want people to become independent. And as a pastor, I look at this idea of getting people to know how to read and write as a very important thing. I want people to study the Bible. I don't want them. I mean, I want people to listen to the program. I want them to come to my church and listen to the messages, but I want people to put their nose into the Word of God and read it themselves. I don't want it to just be because Pastor Al said this. I want people to have the joy of reading. Read God's Word. Read other things that'll help you and build up your life, because the benefits of reading, we just can't say too much about the benefits of reading, but it's such a basic thing that people in parts of District 11, like myself, we take for granted. I don't know people who are functionally illiterate. You know, people in our area, we have the schooling and everything and the emphasis on learning, but there's other parts of this district, and it's not just the 11th district. It's other places, same thing, same problem. I think you've hit on the root of the issue. We got about 20 seconds left. Dr. Beverly Goldstein, I want to thank you for being with us tonight and encourage people to get out and vote. Final 5-second quick thing.
Vote for Bev Goldstein for a new opportunity for District 11. Thank you, Pastor Al.
All right, and thank you. And stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. And thank you, Dr. Goldstein. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and glad you stay tuned with us here this evening. And in the previous half hour, we had Dr. Beverly Goldstein in the studio with us. And it's kind of exciting to see somebody who has, I think, really got to the heart of the problem and has a plan. And hopefully she'll get elected and she'll be in the office and we'll have an actual congressperson on here sometime that way. But it's been interesting being involved a little bit and having a part in things. But we're going to get back to our regular part of the program here tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we've now got the telephone lines open. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the program here this evening. And just a reminder, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. There'll be a link there to our church website and at livewithpastoral.com, and also Facebook. You can find us at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And we're on Facebook Live right now, so you can watch us there as well. Like I said, you can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I just want to encourage people to get informed. If you haven't voted yet, and a lot of people haven't, although I heard that early voting has been running higher. I heard somebody the other day on the radio, I think it was Friday, they were saying that early voting in Ohio has been greater than it was 2 years ago in the 2016 presidential election, and that Republicans are turning out in large numbers. Now, we've been talking about it on the program from time to time, and I know here on Sunday night and on our Friday program, of course, we're on Friday afternoons at 1:30 till 2 o'clock, and I have been comparing off and on some of the things on various issues of interest to Christians on the Republican Party platform versus the Democrat Party platform. And while God is neither a Republican nor a Democrat, we certainly do find that the Republican Party platform more closely echoes biblical values and the biblical worldview of a born-again Christian, as opposed to the Democrat platform, which certainly does not reflect those same views. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about some of those. We may get into some a little bit later, but just pro-life on the Republican side versus pro-death, pro-abortion on the Democrat side, pro-traditional marriage, one man, one woman on the Republican side, and pro-same-sex marriage on the Democrat side. And on we can go through these various things. So we do find that overall, at this point in our history, generally speaking, people who follow the Republican Party platform are more likely to vote and support issues and things that more closely reflect biblical worldviews. And so as a Bible-believing Christian, I find that is where I'm going to find somebody that supports my views. And again, if people cannot read, if they cannot understand the Bible, then they're not going to know what biblical principles are. They're not going to know what the Bible has to say on the sanctity of life, what the Bible has to say on marriage, what the Bible has to say on the LGBT issues and many other things. They're not going to know that. If people cannot read, they're not going to be able to know what the founding documents of our country have to say about God and God's involvement in government and what we can do as public citizens, what we can do as public organizations and private citizens, what we can do as churches, what we can do as pastors, what we can do as American citizens, and all these sorts of things. unless somebody can read, they're only going to know what people tell them. And they're going to have to trust people to tell them and hope that they're telling them what's in their best interest. And that's not always the case. As we were saying last half hour,